His name? Kurt Thomas. His title? Three-time world gymnastics champion. His assignment? A secret mission for the United States government. His only weapon? Himself. And that's all he needs. Combine the discipline, the timing, and the power of gymnastics with the explosive force of karate, and a new, all-powerful martial art is born. Gymkata.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 10 of hopefully a long and drawn-out series. Of course, this is the podcast that drops bombs of awesome into your ear holes. And, you know, we are going to... We're going to try to do better than the last episode, episode 9. I just gotta apologize for that, because that was fucking terrible. It was so bad. So bad. I don't think I'll ever do that again. I will never do a show by myself ever again, because I have nothing interesting to talk about. And that's why this show is so great, because I bring crazy, cool people to your world and show you how to be. So let me welcome our guest for today, Ryan Rambo.
Killing's as easy as breathing.
How's it going, Ryan?
It's going great.
Good, good. I'm not... Oh, I turned you all the way down. Look at that. Why don't you say that again? And one more time.
Hey, it's going great and enjoying this glorious weather.
I was totally turning the wrong knob there on a totally different channel. So... Yeah, weather's nice today, isn't it?
Yeah. You have a problem with turning the wrong knob?
I do. I do. I do it often, actually.
I like turning the right knob.
Yeah. That's a huge plus of being married, though, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. Nobody cares. So we are going to karate kick the pommel horse in your brain today, because we're going to talk about a little thing called Gymkata, which you heard at the intro of the show. And I think, Rambo, you're pretty much an expert on Gymkata, would you say?
Yeah, I've been practicing for 15 or so years.
Right, right. The art of gymnastics / karate pulled into one.
It's the concept that really just took me to new heights of excitement.
Right.
I mean, my life has totally changed ever since I found out about this art form. I mean, and it's not a laughing matter. I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't mean to make a joke. I apologize.
I mean, if you just think about how all those times when you're in a street alley and there's just a pommel horse there and all the things you could do to fight people with it, you know. I mean, once I found out about that concept, I was sold.
Yeah, well, it's kind of an old concept, right? It's got to be, what, 1985?
Yeah, I mean,
something
it's
like that.
Not
when
as old
movie
as
came out.
Not quite as old as karate, but I find it as a natural evolution of the art form into something more modern and more useful.
Right, right. Well, so that movie, the fucking trailer, the trailer of that movie is up on YouTube. I don't know why I couldn't think of that name. Or thing. But anyway, there's a scene in that movie where there's all of a sudden he's like in this like square and he's being attacked by like 100 ninjas in black. Do you remember what I'm talking about? And there's like all of a sudden there's like this pommel horse right in the middle of the square.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's just like going around and just like, you know, he's killing bitches.
Yeah. And I know that sounds totally ridiculous, like you'd see something in a movie, but ever since I've been practicing, that's actually happened several times.
Has it really? Here in Seattle, you get surrounded by ninjas a whole lot.
Well, if you go down south, there's quite a big Asian population. You'd be surprised. and a huge gymnastics population, and those two combined.
So it basically all happens down in the ID.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I get in most of my fights.
Oh, good.
And I don't, you know, as a fine practicer of the art, I don't ever start. It's always when compelled by others to start a fight, you know.
Right, right. Never. You're a peaceful man.
Yes,
you're of
yes.
peaceful nature.
Yeah, but when when danger calls, I have to do what I have to do.
You're telling me. So we've known each other for a little while, right?
Off and on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you got in touch with me maybe a couple weeks ago about your interest on coming on Air Raid, and talking about some stuff. You sent me this whole list, this like super, super long list of things that you would like to discuss. And I had to send you an email back and say, okay, I'm totally into this because the list was so effing funny. And then, but I had to have you like, you know, cut that list down in probably like a half because there were so many things. So I think what we're going to do, and we've discussed this before, you're going to be our new conspiracy correspondent for AirRaid.net, right? And so you're actually going on a trip here. Where are you going?
I'm going to South America and specifically for this project.
For this project?
Yes.
That's what it is. And you're gonna spend an indeterminate amount of time down there too, right?
Yeah, approximately 6 months. We'll see how the company budget, how much the company budget allows. But I'm going for 6 months to really get some in-depth topics for the show.
Well, the airraid.net per diem is about $2.
Well, you know,
$2 a month. So
well, you know, I'll be selling my body down there. A little
doing what you do best.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
All right, all right. So we've got a number of things that we're going to discuss today together. We're going to talk about this list that Ryan sent. And so let's see. One of the topics was the importance of good letter writing. And we're going to get to that a little bit later in the show. And he's got a letter that he wants to read. And then the second one, we're going to talk about JND, which is just brought to my attention here in this list that you sent me. But it stands for Just Noticeable Difference. And there's a very interesting thing out there that I think you'll all want to know about. And then, you know, of course, if we can get to it, maybe we'll talk about Gymkata just a little bit more. The new fighting craze that that I predict will grip the nation.
It's already gripping the nation. I think you're out of the loop a little bit.
I might be out of the loop, but that's what we pride ourselves on here at AirRaid.net is being out of the loop and not getting to things on time. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's a great segue because that brings us to our first headline. Our first headline of episode 10 is Wyclef Jean is running for president of Haiti. And I know that most of you probably already know this yet. Or already. Yet?
Wow. No, I haven't heard of it yet.
I'll cut that out. Yeah. You haven't. Right.
No, this is news to me.
Right. So this is kinda strange to me, and I don't know how I feel about this, because of course you know that the big earthquake hit Haiti, right? Just demolished Port-au-Prince.
What's that?
You're joking, right? Yeah, you're joking.
Oh, this is a couple years ago. Last year, right?
Last year.
Was it this year?
Earlier this year.
Earlier this year.
Come on, you know about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
caught wind.
You caught wind of it?
Yeah.
Just coming down the grapevine.
Yeah. I heard something.
Yeah.
I don't really follow the news too much.
I try not to. I really don't. Like, the most news that I follow nowadays is like, it's like stories like this, where it's like Wyclef Jean is running for president, or like Britney Spears showed her cooter.
Yeah, TMZ, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's the news I'm into now. Like, because I can't do politics anymore. Like, they just piss me off. And it's pretty much like all the news that you see on television stations now is just super sad. It makes you super paranoid, right?
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Yeah, there's like murders every day and things like that, rapes.
Yeah, Gymkata. That's how I don't get involved in that kind of thing.
Right. Well, you're the person that starts most of those murders, right? Because you're just kicking ass and taking names.
No.
You only put them to sleep?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I only do, you know, I don't cause the violence. It's brought to me.
Right. Right.
So I'm actually defending against it and
right.
showing
right.
people not to mess with folks.
So you're not like a Spider-Man. You don't like seek out like.
No.
Like situations.
No, this is no. I'm a real man with honest values.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. Well, oops. We got a little bit off topic there for our headline here. So, yeah. I don't know if this is such a great idea for Wyclef Jean. First of all, he obviously doesn't have any experience running a government, let alone a country, right? He's never been even a mayor of a town, you know? And, you know, after such a disaster like that earthquake, I mean, that country really needs a really good, true leader, don't you think?
Well,
like to get things kind of back on track a little bit? Because it's still in pretty dire straits down there.
Yeah, but, you know, what defines a true leader? I mean, you've got ex-politician who may claim that he's a leader, but
right.
he's backed by his own agenda. I mean, Wyclef Jean is, you know, he hasn't been in the forefront of the music industry for quite some time now. Perhaps he's looking into a new venture to challenge himself. You know, he doesn't need a job. He's probably still living off the revenues of those albums.
Right, right.
So I'm sure he's just looking for something to do. Maybe he has a genuine interest in helping people, and you know what? I don't know him, so maybe he is a great leader, and we need to give him a shot.
Well, see, okay. All good points. All very good points. Very well spoken, too. But I'm not trying to attack his motive at all. I think it's very admirable that he would do something like this. I just don't think his head might be in the right place. I mean, I just don't think he really like understands all that needs to happen down there. Maybe mm-hmm. and like you said, I don't know the guy either. I mean, he could be a super smart guy that knows a lot about politics, knows a lot about the inner workings of politics and everything like that. So I don't know. But there's a couple of funny things that have happened from this. So there was an interview done with Sean Penn. Sean Penn's been down there, the actor, has been down there for months, you know, helping with the relief effort and everything like that. And he put in his two cents about Wyclef Jean running for president. And he basically stated that, you know, I, being Sean Penn, have been down here for months, you know, taking care of business. Where have you been, Wyclef? Like, what are you going to do about this? You've been back in America. And you know, Wyclef went on a television show and kind of shot back, you know, at him and said, you know, I was in a different encampment. You know, what? It's a country. It's a whole country. You don't see me, you know, when I'm down there, you know. And so... and another real funny thing came out of this too. Praz, you know, he was one of the other members in the Fugees with Wyclef Jean, put in his two cents also and said, our country, you know, with all due respect, our country doesn't need Wyclef Jean, to run us, you know, as president. I am not going to vote for him. I'm going to vote for, and he put in this. This is so funny. Sweet Mikey Martelli. And guess what Sweet Mikey does?
What does he do?
He's a singer in Haiti. So he's voting for another musician who's going to be running for president. You know, it'd kind of be funny if one of these guys actually won the presidentship, you know, the presidential election down there, and like the whole country just turns into like one big like music festival.
Yeah.
Like every time you go down, it's just some reggae band playing the same tune for like 2 weeks straight. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger did it. No, Jesse Ventura did it.
Right, but that's governor, though. That's not, like, the whole country. That's
kind of about this, maybe.
I guess California, yeah. I mean, California's probably bigger than Haiti.
Yeah, and, I mean, Jesse Ventura was he was the governor of Minnesota. And
Was it Minnesota?
I guess Minnesota.
For some reason, I was thinking that was California too. But he's still governor, right?
Who? Jesse Ventura?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, no? Is he out? Okay.
Arnold Schwarzenegger still is.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And he's still awesome.
He's as good as far as I know.
Not quite. Well, and then we had Ronald Reagan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Reagan was the president of the U.S. of A. for a little while. But I think he held office before he became president, too. He was something else. But I don't know. It could work out, you know? I don't know.
One thing I'd like to interject about Sean Penn's statement. I don't know how much I trust that guy. I don't know how much I trust him. I mean, last time I checked, he was collaborating with Kim Jong-il and the North Korean government.
Was he?
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Really?
Yeah. Something on some movie that I saw, Team America or something like that. He was working
Wasn't
closely.
Wasn't that Michael Moore, too, or something?
Yeah, yeah. Alec Baldwin. I think Sean Penn was in there.
He might. Oh, definitely.
So I'm not totally sure if I want to buy what he says, you know.
Right. And sorry about the little background noises we got going on here. My cat is going crazy, chasing one of those hair ties again. So don't mind that.
Well, let me say one more thing about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's interesting that I always find it refreshing when people that are not in the current political system find that they can really try to do something good, you know, for somebody, whether or not they're qualified or not. I find it feels good in my heart that somebody's, you know, probably has the right motive when they don't really need to do anything. I'm always sympathetic to those who run for office who don't have a lot of experience in office, because I feel like the people that have been in power are the ones that are typically more corrupt.
Right.
You know, Mayor McGinn here in Seattle, you know, I think he didn't have any, he had little to no political background.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe he'll be corrupt in a few years, but, you know, he's starting out fresh and he's learning.
I personally didn't vote for the guy, but I think he's been doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, I mean, I voted for him. I met him numerous times. Had
really?
Like 20, 30 minute one-on-one discussions with him at a friend's little party for him.
Really?
And I was, you know, I'm pretty much anti-politics, to be honest. Uh-huh. And I don't typically vote at all.
Well, you are our conspiracy correspondent, right?
Yeah.
Is that why?
Yeah, but I did vote for him. You know, I felt like he, you know, he had good motives in whatever he was doing.
Right. Yeah, well, he seems like a pretty good guy too, like just a straight up guy. But it'll be interesting to see kind of the metamorphosis of, you know, if he keeps this office for a while, and kind of to see like how things change, because they inevitably will change. Like, you know, they may not change for the bad, but he's going to have to make some real tough decisions. He's already had to with the, you know, laying off some police officers and things like that.
Which I'm all for. The less police officers, the less pigs, the better, in my
opinion. We'll get into that in a little bit. We'll get into that in a little bit. But back to the Wyclef Jean thing. There was one thing that might kind of hold him up. First of all, they don't know. He might possibly be like an American citizen. Also, he might hold dual citizenship, you know, in Haiti and the U.S. So that could be a big drawback for him. Also, I don't know if I'm probably going to butcher this, but Yele, do you know what Yele was?
No.
That was his foundation when the earthquake happened. He opened up this Yele foundation where you could text, you know, some number to, you know, this other number at Yele. And it would like immediately take like $10 out of your phone bill,
right?
You know, and send it there. Well, apparently he was being paid to play concerts by his foundation. He was playing benefit concerts, but he was getting paid for it by the Yele Foundation
through the money that people were donating.
And then also there was something else too. They were getting money somewhere else too, but yeah, so that might, I don't know, that might kind of hold things up.
But if it was a benefit concert, then
Well, that's what you'd think.
Yeah, you know, he would be spending money to make more money, perhaps, because if he was holding a concert, there's expenses. You got to have,
right?
You got to have the equipment and the sound system and whatnot. Maybe he was using the money from that foundation.
Yeah,
and for I read that, this... and then in the in turn,
right,
getting more money. I mean, I don't know. I'm just hypothesizing, conspiracizing.
Yeah. I think that's a new word. Yeah, and it, you know, I don't know, of course, all these specifics and everything about the story. I was just reading. I read this story on the Huffington Post, and we'll post that post from the Huffington Post on the website for you guys to check out. But I think let's go to our first music break, and then when we come back, we'll talk with Ryan Rambo.
Killing's as easy as breathing.
about his thoughts on JND, which is, what does that stand for again? I got
just,
in my notes.
Just here. Noticeable Difference.
Just Noticeable Difference. All right, so we'll be back in a little bit. This is Arizona by the Cubs. Special guest Ryan Rambo.
Hello.
And let's get to the first thing on your list that I wanted to talk about, this JND, this Just Noticeable Difference that you told me about. And I had never really been, you know, I'd really never really kind of noticed this before. I guess I did, you know, everybody kind of notices it, but once you said it on paper, it like really jumped out at me, and I was like, whoa. That's right.
Sounds like you're a common victim.
I am. I'm a victim of JND.
Most people are a victim.
Yeah.
And with you know, you and I and our listeners' support, perhaps we can do something about this.
Yeah. I mean, is there an ointment we can get? Do we go to the doctor for JND? Why don't you tell us what JND is all about?
Oh, JND is a marketing practice, Just Noticeable Difference. It's commonly known.
So you probably wouldn't use an ointment for it.
No.
Okay.
No, I actually inquired. I didn't learn too much about it when I was in school for marketing, but I talked to a friend, a recent graduate, and she was the one who gave me the official term and said it's a very common practice that people are hired specifically, or I don't know if they're hired specifically for this, but there are people who specifically research how much they can change a product to the point where people will still buy it. They want to know the limit of, for example, how small they can make a product where people will notice, but they're not going to flip out about, at least not enough to stop buying it. So you want to talk about the real conspiracy here, the biggest one that really caught my mind?
Yeah, of course.
I'm sure most of you guys have noticed
this.
And this is kind of a big deal to me personally because I'm a very big fan of ice cream. And I remember as a young boy, I used to enjoy the luscious flavor of vanilla bean, Breyers vanilla bean ice cream. Perhaps you all noticed that as well. The four flavors, they would advertise four natural flavors. I believe it was milk, sugar, cream, and what
vanilla.
Vanilla bean, yeah, exactly. Four flavors. All natural. Half gallon. That's the key.
Right,
that's
right.
The key phrase, half gallon.
The half gallon tub. The half gallon tub of ice cream.
Now, I find it humorous because people still refer to the standard ice cream container as half gallon when in fact it's been many years
since it's actually been a half gallon.
Exactly. Right. And not as it only changed once. And I'm going to speak for Breyers specifically, but most people have followed suit. I don't know if they were the originators in the reduction, but it's actually been reduced twice to where you're not getting much too much more than your standard little pint.
Right, right. And so how much has it gone down?
Well, it started a half gallon.
Right.
I am assuming that they planned this out and we're wishing to phase this in slowly, but it started at 1.75 quarts. And, you know, I noticed the difference. People notice the difference. You know, it's a little smaller. Yeah. Now it's down to 1.5 quarts, 1.5 quarts.
Right, right. And yeah, that's pretty damn noticeable.
That's like, very noticeable.
Like, I don't buy ice cream very much. Like, Rady and I have been on this kick of, like, buying, like, ice cream sandwiches, which are amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we haven't really bought a big tub of ice cream for a long time. And then I recently just went to the store and I was looking at it, you know, at all this ice cream. And yeah, the tub of it looks a lot, like, more slender and shorter.
Yeah, they manufacture it. You know, they tried to chop it off in the right places where it was less noticeable. You can't hide the fact that it's smaller anymore. But
right, right. Yeah,
there was some thought into it, and it really makes me question humanity, I guess you could say. When you think about people sitting in a room, thinking about how can
they squeeze another dollar out of their market share
at the expense of my gluttonous appetite for ice cream.
So is that? I mean, the scale is kind of weighted evenly then, because the gluttony on one side and then the gluttony of the marketers on the other side, right?
Well,
they don't tip either way. It's both people are at fault. Oh my God. I think
no.
We just solved one of the biggest problems of the U.S.
No. Well, actually, I don't disagree with that, because you would think that, you know, I'm all about people being healthier and eating less ice cream. I myself have personally reduced my ice cream eating content as of late, but the prices have not gone down. In fact, they've gone up.
No, they have not. Yeah.
They've gone up. And, you know, you get a few people, you can check online, that get a little TO'd, if you will.
Yeah. Is there a whole chat room or like blog?
There's a blog associated
with this.
And there's really no way around it. You send a message to, you know, you write a letter, which, you know, I'd like to write a letter because that's what I do. We'll get
that
later. It's been on my agenda. We'll see if I get around to it. But there's people who've written letters, you know, how can you do this? They say, well, our customers want smaller containers. Yeah. You know, how can you contest that?
Yeah,
you know,
bullshit. I call bullshit on that.
You know.
Yeah. Who wants to spend more on a smaller portion?
Well, they don't talk about the spending more part.
Right, right. Yeah, they don't say anything about the price. So,
and one little thing, they probably have some phony marketing, some phony survey or test that they did to prove that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. So you said that there used to be like four flavors on this vanilla bean Breyers. It was a Breyers or Dryers?
Breyers. Okay. Has never been good. Just so
okay. Much. Well, if anybody from Breyers or Dryers is listening right now, we're on the internet, so I hope that you can't get to us because, you know, that would be terrible.
Well, let's just—I
still like your ice cream.
Let's just let's make something known though. Breyers is actually owned by Unilever. I believe they also make soap and probably thousands of other products.
Do they make Lever 2000?
I believe that they are the brand, yeah.
No shit.
So it's not Breyers, it's Unilever. A
Unilever.
big big motherfucking company. Actually, no, I'm going to be nice. I don't know those guys there. I'm not going to judge. I am going to judge.
They've got families, too.
I'm going to judge.
And you know what? They're probably pissed. Their kids are probably pissed off that their ice cream got smaller also.
Their kids are probably too stupid to but they're probably the next generation who never knew the half gallon.
That's true. That's true. So how long has it been? How long has it been since they did the first change, like the first scale?
I don't remember the actual date. I want to say it's somewhere around 1998. But it might. I have a feeling it might be after. I don't know. I don't remember, honestly. Yeah. It doesn't
because
matter.
It's a just noticeable difference. You can't really recall.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But then the second scale down was probably just a couple years ago, probably at the start of the recession. And, you know, that's kind of what I noticed, too, is like a lot of, you know, when the recession first kind of hit or was starting to hit, there were a lot of companies out there that like immediately raised their prices. And then they immediately came out and backed up that, you know, they made a claim that I'm sorry, I'm drinking scotch. My tongue is kind of twisted right now. But they would make these claims like, oh, yeah, because of the recession, you know, we've had to raise our prices because the price on everything else has gone up.
Yeah, oil. That's the big one.
Right, right.
But we did mention, just a side point, I don't know if we want to get too deep into the four ingredients. If you've noticed, there's no longer four ingredients. I believe there's five, maybe six.
Oh, there's probably more than that. They probably got like guarna gum in it.
It's
guar gum.
Now, yeah. I mean, I'm not totally anti guar gum.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. Of course, if you write them, they say, you know, this is to keep our ice cream more stable and changing climates, which could very well be true.
In changing, so they're taking into account like climate change?
Yeah, like and shipping.
Oh, okay.
It helps ice cream.
I thought you were talking
together.
About like global warming or something like
you
that.
You know, I think it may help a little bit with, you know, the ice cream freezes, refreeze, it helps
right,
it stick
right.
together. But I don't know, it was never a big deal.
Yeah.
When they didn't have it. And there might be another ingredient too. I can't recall, but it's been, you know, it's been hypothesized, and I don't even know if it's a hypothesis, but I've noticed a decline in the taste of Breyers ice cream.
And
I think other people will notice.
Well, because they're taking out portions of the vanilla bean and replacing it with guar gum. Apparently.
Exactly,
because they have less room to put that stuff in there too. You know.
Yep.
There's not as much vanilla in it.
This is in my opinion, in the forward thinking economy.
Yeah.
In my forward thinking economy, this is the opposite way of that things are done. This is the old school way. The
right.
old school thinking,
right.
Stretch a dollar.
Get out of here, cat.
Later, cat.
Titus.
No, this is, you know, I think, you know, maybe it really does make a big difference. I'm not working for the companies. I'm not crunching the numbers.
Right. Right.
All's I know, and maybe it's because you and I are, you know, the more informed people in society. You know, my brother made a very comment where, you know, he deals a lot with the public, and there's a lot of people who just don't care or are just too stupid to notice.
Right, right.
And maybe for a company like that, you know, that's what they're thinking. However, I think honesty is always the best policy, and I think that people don't like to feel like they've been deceived.
Right, right.
People like to pay for what they get for. But pay for what they get. Pay for what they get. And, you know, I think it's slowly, the, you know, the new companies that are coming up, I wish I could think of an example off the top of my head. But
the
companies that are really giving what they promise their customer are the ones that are thriving right now.
Right, right.
And, you know, and there may be a small investment in doing a few extra things for the customer, but ultimately that's what's going to keep your customers coming back.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think if they put guar gum on the polar ice caps, they'd stop melting?
That's a very interesting concept. I've heard conspiracy theories on that.
So what are some examples of other companies that are doing this JND?
Well, I'm sure you've seen the standard chip bag.
Yes.
And not
yes.
All, yeah. But you know what they'll do? This is interesting. What they do is they'll reduce the size of the chip bag, right?
Uh-huh.
And then enlarge it again, and so they can put that
the super size.
Now 25% more.
Oh,
so they went from the normal size down,
right.
and then back up to the normal size so they can claim 25%.
So it's no longer the supersized Lay's potato chips bags that we would get back in like the, you know, early 90s, late 80s. You know, just a gigantic bag of potato chips. But now it's filled with 25% more air.
Well, I don't know if it's – I actually don't believe it's air. I believe it's actual content. But what I'm saying is in reality, there's only so far they can go.
Right,
so to
right.
keep using this 25% more, which they could use infinitely, all they have to do is lower the size of their bag for a little while.
Right, right.
And then increase – you know, say 4 or 5 months.
That is fucking sneaky, man. Yeah. That is sneaky shit.
And nobody likes to be sneaky upon.
That's right. Especially us.
Yeah.
That's why we're doing the fucking show.
Yeah, and I think – honestly, I think it's wrong. I think it's immoral.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would totally agree with you.
It's worse than cheating on your spouse.
That is way worse than cheating on your spouse. I wish Mairead was here right now because maybe she'd have something to say about that.
Yeah.
So you said that have you written a letter about this yet?
No. It's been on my mind. I've honestly been very busy with my life recently.
Uh-huh.
I've been writing other letters.
Yes, you have. Yes, yeah. You have.
It's been on my list. I got real riled up about it for about a week. I've been texting, calling, emailing my friends, spreading the word, you know.
Right,
I haven't
brought
Breyer's ice cream since.
Well,
realized how
good.
Filthy.
They don't deserve you as a customer.
Filthy gangsters.
Yeah, yeah. They filthy gangsters?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like the mafia of companies.
Totally. Buyers. Exploiting their power.
Yeah.
Because they know they're hiring people that make more than you and I, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Way more.
To learn how to fuck us.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel good when buying their product?
I love getting bent over by big companies.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. So we'll end that discussion.
Hey,
right
but
there.
I'm leading in. I don't know if you're planning on leading in?
Yeah, totally.
To the letters. I'll make a nice transition.
Okay.
I don't want to get too mad at these companies. You know, I realize that we're, you know, they have a business and they're trying to run it.
Right. Right.
But the key into getting your message across is not to argue, is not to bash, because nobody wants to hear that.
Right.
Nobody wants to be put down because their natural reaction is to defend themselves. So
yes.
What you need to do is compromise with what they're thinking and think of them as a human just like yourself. Put your, you know, step into their shoes for a moment, figure mm-hmm. out what they're mm-hmm. doing, why they're doing it, and then you need to communicate with them how you understand what they're doing, but you think, you know, this is not making me happy for this and this reason.
Right,
I hope
right.
you can understand me.
So this is kind of like combating the conspiracy.
Yeah, yeah.
The conspirators.
Yeah, not just conspirators. I mean, this can go with anything that you want.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying in a selfish way, but if it comes down to the golden rule, you treat somebody like they want to be treated, you understand what they're doing and what they're all about, then you can make a healthy compromise.
You know? Wow. So this is like a life lesson here.
Absolutely.
That we're learning from Mr. Ryan Rambo here.
I wouldn't. This is concepts that I've learned from
writing letters.
Dale Carnegie.
Who's Dale Carnegie?
You never heard of Dale Carnegie?
No,
I don't
think so.
Member of the Carnegie family. He wrote supposedly the first self-help book ever written. I believe it was 1920s, 1930s, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's
is
the most...
that hall named after him?
Yep, that's him.
Okay.
He was a famous speaker.
Okay. Speech
speaker. Letter writer. A famous letter writer.
Uh-huh.
Back in his day, they didn't have emails and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
I read a book by him, and I've kind of taken my own twist on it. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Oh, he wrote that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right.
You know, I hate the title of that book because it seems like you're using people.
You're using people,
but
right,
if you actually read it...
I've always kind of wondered about that.
I've got a copy, original.
I want to borrow that.
Yep, you can have it, actually, because I'm moving.
Excellent.
I need to get rid of stuff.
Yeah.
It sounds bad, but it's actually, it's very logical.
Yeah,
I think it's very much common sense to
and
be
it
honest.
Holds up. It holds up today, right?
Holds up today. You know, the examples he gives are from the 20s, but you can transport those in today's life.
Well, that's pretty cool. So let's.
I don't want to give credit to myself, but I've used these in a modern day context.
Right on, right on. So let's transition ourselves here, and let's start talking about some of these letters that you've written. And you've probably called upon, Mr. Dale Carnegie to help you along with some of these letters. And the first thing I have on the list here is customer service. And I really liked what you wrote about customer service.
Which part specifically?
Well, the specific to actually calling like companies when you're impressed with them.
Exactly, yeah.
And like telling them that like, hey, you're, you know, either you, the woman on the phone that I talked with or the product that you sell is awesome.
Right.
Like they, companies like that, you know, companies that are doing good need to hear that, right?
Right.
So they can make, I mean, keep on doing that. If they get enough, you know, like Breyers, for instance, you know, if maybe they didn't get enough people saying, hey, we like what you're doing right now. Don't change a damn thing.
Right.
We'll pay more for, you know, this half gallon tub of ice cream. You know, maybe they wouldn't have changed something.
Yeah.
So what are some of the examples? Like you said you actually called a one of those numbers on the back of it, like a semi truck. How am I driving?
Yeah. I've actually done this. The more I think about it, I've done this a lot. The how am I driving, you know, I saw this guy driving and, you know, the thing about that is nothing stood out to me about this guy was driving exceptionally well. But he was driving in the right lane.
Uh-huh.
Semi truck.
Right.
Supposed to be in the right lane.
Yeah, yeah.
Following all the rules as far as I know, as far as I could tell.
Yeah.
You know, why not call him up and, you know, tell the operator, you know, he's doing a great job. So I called up the number. I called up the number and the lady's like,
this is awesome.
She's like, how may I help you? I was like, yeah, well, I saw this truck driver and I gave him the number on this truck. And he's like, well, what happened? I was like, well, honestly, he was just driving great.
Yeah.
He's doing a great job.
An awesome job.
You know, she's like, oh, really? Following all the rules and everything? I was like, yeah, he's doing fantastic. And she said, okay, well, I'm going to let his supervisor know.
There you go. That's how people get raises, man.
Yeah.
That's how people that deserve raises get raises.
So.
That's awesome.
The bigger picture.
Right.
So let's say this guy gets wind that somebody did that. Maybe it makes his day. Maybe he gets a chuckle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The main reason I've stuck with T-Mobile is my cell phone. They have the worst reception.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they have the best customer service. I've never had a problem. I've called them up. I called them up. It only takes you a minute or less to talk to a real person. They always know what's up. I mean, I've never had a bad experience, honestly.
Yeah,
and, you know, Consumer Reports are rated number one in customer service.
Really? Really?
Yeah, and I've always, you know, asked to talk to their managers, you know.
Uh-huh.
And you think about what that person says, oh, thank you, you know. That person, anybody knows in any job, if you get a person that's good and you keep them with your company is going to do good.
Mm-hmm.
Your employees are going to be happy, you know, that they're sticking with a job and that they're getting compensated and praised for what they do.
Yeah,
give them some self-worth. So if you know, if you think of it as every little conversation you have is a piece of the puzzle. If you keep these, you know, if everybody would tell people not just when they do something bad, if they do something good, then you're more likely to get good customer service the next time you call.
Cool. Yeah, that's good. That's a really good point. That's a really good point. And I actually took that to heart when you sent me that email. And when we were, let's see, we got rained out on our camping trip last weekend. And so
Got rained out?
Yeah.
All my friends, they went camping, had a grand old time.
Where did they go?
They went out to the coast, Jefferson Beach.
Son of a bitch. We went east of the mountains. We were in eastern Washington.
Really?
And we got rained out. Yeah. It was terrible. And so we went over, we got some friends that live over in Ellensburg and stayed with Mr. Will and Kimber Campbell, we went to a friend of ours has a shop in Ellensburg called Lotus Jewelry and Clothing or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl there that was working there was just awesome. She was super nice, and so I Facebook emailed the owners of that shop and was just like, I love your store. You know, every time I go in there, everybody's so nice. I was in there on Sunday. The girl working there was just great. She was super nice, super helpful. And just wanted to let you know that. You know, and they emailed me back. And they were like, thanks. You know, thanks for coming to the store, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. I took that to heart, and I'm going to try to do that more often.
It makes you feel good, and you know it makes somebody else feel good.
Right.
Everybody wins.
Right, right. And, you know, even when we went to breakfast on Sunday morning over in Ellensburg, like, the waitress came back and she picked up our plates and stuff. And I said, thank you so much. You know, and then I got made fun of for saying that. You know, do you think that's wrong?
Thank you so much. I think as long as you're being sincere.
I was totally sincere. Although, I will say that I was, like, leaning way down in my seat because I had just eaten this huge omelet.
Right, right.
You know, and I was just like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Probably.
As long as you're sincere about whatever you do, right. whether it's positive or negative, I think people will at least understand your message.
Totally. Totally.
Being a phony is not the way.
That is a great point. That is a great point. Okay. Well, I think it's about time for another musical break. Let's see. What are we going to hear here? Oh, Don't Bother Me by the Blakes. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Mr. Ryan Rambo some more. And we're going to hear about some of these letters. And he's actually going to read a letter for us. So stick around. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that song. That's a local Seattle boys, hometown boys, the Blakes, with Don't Bother Me. Hope you enjoyed it. So let's see here. Yeah, let's get back on topic here. Let's talk about these letters that you've written. So you've written letters. You've talked about writing letters to like somebody like Breyers or something that has to do with the JND, right?
Right, right, right.
And you've written letters to General Mills. Oh, General Mills.
Yeah, that's one I've definitely reaped the benefits.
Tell us about that one.
I'll tell you real quick. So I was on the way to a hiking trip.
Uh-huh.
Bought a bag of Chex Mix.
Yeah.
Ate the entire bag of Chex Mix with a couple friends, and we noticed there was only one rye chip in the entire bag.
One rye chip.
One rye chip.
Like a big bag. Like
normal size bag.
Just
the standard big size bag. Got home and you said, you know what? That's just not right. You know, something's not right with that. You know,
right, right.
I'm not too overly pissed, but I think they might like to know that that's happening. So I called the number on the back. Who calls the number on the back? I never called the number on the back.
No.
It's there for a reason.
Questions or comments, right? That number.
I got this lady on the phone. Picked up right away. There was no prompts.
Uh-huh.
Nicest lady. I said, you know what? You know, I'm not going to be, I had a bag and I only one ride chip. She said, you know what? I completely understand. You know, that's not right. And you must be something wrong with our manufacturing process.
Uh-huh.
We're going to take care of that for you. You know, I'm going to send that in to our, manufacturing department. We're going to look into it. And let me get your address. We're going to send you a coupon for a free bag.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks later, I get this letter. It says, Mr. Rambo, we're sorry about the problem here. We appreciate you calling in. We realize there's a problem with our manufacturing system, something about the sorting, I think. You know, they weren't putting enough in there. We really appreciate your comments. Here's a free coupon. Custom coupons, by the way. It said, Mr. Rambo, here's entitled to one free bag of Chex Mix and $1 off any other product.
Was it handwritten? No. And, like, cut out of, like, construction paper?
No, but it was a custom letter. It was not a letter, derived from some form.
Right, right.
It was a real deal. It wasn't long, but it didn't need to be long. Long.
One of the two.
But the point is, they acknowledged me. They realized the importance of my comment that what if they had more bags like this? That's not good for business.
Totally.
They gave me a free bag, not a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Made me happy.
No skin off their back.
No.
Yeah.
And they got the job done efficiently, quickly, no harm done. They didn't try to defend themselves.
This kind of goes back to the kind of the customer service thing that we were talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Before.
Yeah. Right. So, right. And that was a quick one.
Yeah.
Well, what else were we going to talk about?
You wrote you got a red light ticket recently.
Yeah, I got a red light ticket
on your Ducati.
Husqvarna.
Husqvarna. That's right. You know, and I was I forgot. Damn it! I was gonna get a sound drop of I know that everybody out there has seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas,
except for me.
You haven't seen that movie?
No, I just had this conversation with somebody else. Never seen it.
Oh damn it! There's a scene in that movie where Hunter S. Thompson, the Johnny Depp plays Hunter S. Thompson, and he's just frying on acid, and. You know, there's a point in there where they're going to see some. He's going to cover a motorcycle race
for
Rolling Stone, and his photographer comes in and just starts spouting off the names of all these like different types of bikes that were out there, you know, getting registered and stuff. And Husqvarna is one of them. So I wanted to get that. That was a long story, long drawn out story, just to get to that one point that I wanted to get the sound drop of the Husqvarna.
I just want to. You have the sound drop?
No, I don't.
One quick thing. I was in Ohio this weekend. I visited the AMA Motorcycle Hall of Fame.
Uh huh.
They had multiple vintage Husqvarnas there. Great museum if you're ever in Columbus, Ohio. And one movie that everyone should see on any Sunday. It's a Bruce Bowen film. Same director as Endless Summer. Best motorcycle documentary ever made. One of my top five favorite movies of all time.
Uh-huh.
Even if you don't ride motorcycles, it just captures you. It's made in the late 70s. It's when the innocence of motorcycle riding was still around. No big flames and motorcycles jumping and doing triple backflips and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's a great film. Anyway, check it out.
Yeah, and that was that was back in the day before there were red light cameras.
Exactly.
Also.
Anyway, on to the red light cameras.
Yeah, yeah. So what happened with you?
So I got a red light ticket, supposedly. I got a call from a collections agency, to my surprise.
From Arizona, correct?
I believe so, PMT Solutions.
That's right, because that's where all of that information goes, is straight to Arizona. Private company, PMT, by the way.
Yeah, PMT Solutions, I got it right here. The guy's named David Garcia. If you're listening, David, get a life.
Should we send this show to him?
Yeah. Anyway, so David called me at 8:30 in the morning, woke my ass up. And he said, "You've got a ticket you got to pay." And I said, "What are you talking about? I never got a ticket." So did some investigation. Found out that my motorcycle was registered under my old address, which I never... My fault.
Oh,
my bad.
Oh.
My bad.
Yeah.
So I said, "Hey, David, I just found out, this is this." He's like, "You know what? It's not going to really matter. The court's not going to care. They're going to say it was your fault." Of course, this guy wants my money.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I said, "You know what, David? I'm going to call up the court and see what I need to do to contest this." called up the court and they said, you know, you can write to, let's see here, write an official letter of dispute to the Seattle Municipal Court Collections Unit.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote a letter.
Yeah.
I won't go into the specifics of the letter, but basically in a very, a tone that, you know, you and I would be talking with.
Right, right.
I said, you know, honestly, I forgot to change the registration of my bike. I got this thing, it's $140 tickets now in collections for, let's see, they added $34 onto the ticket.
Right.
$174 now for running a red light. I said, hey, you know, I know it was my fault. I just really appreciate it if you get this out of collections. Resend it to me, and I'd be happy to go through the normal procedures.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really think anything was going to happen.
Right.
3, maybe 4 weeks later, someone listened to my letter.
Uh-huh.
Somebody completely redid it in the court. I have the ability to go to court now. And then I actually sent another letter. Another letter.
Uh-huh.
That, let's see here. To the court, you know, I actually requested a court date. And then I went ahead and instead of contesting it in person live with the judge, I just went ahead and decided to contest it via written statement. And that's an alternative. It's easier. You don't have to take off work to go to court. But I wrote a big old letter with my typical style to the judge. And I'm waiting to hear back from them now to see what my judgment will be. I'm hoping to get it reduced, maybe completely thrown out.
Yeah,
I was obviously guilty if you look at the video, but maybe someone will have a little bit of...
Did you get to watch the video?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do they post those online for you to see or something like that?
They post them online for you.
Okay, okay.
And, you know, honestly, but I think my argument was decent enough for them to at least reduce the fee.
Right, right.
And I hope someone listens to me. Hopefully they reduce it completely. But
yeah, yeah. Well,
it worked for the first letter. We'll see if it works.
Yeah. I told you I got a red light camera once, or a red light camera ticket. It was in my work truck for a local municipality here in the Seattle area. So what they did is they sent it to me at work, right? And had a picture of my license plate and then my work car.
No video.
But
this is pre-video.
Well, this was on paper. Right, they like sent it to me.
Right, right.
And this was just a couple months ago, actually. And so I thought I was going to play coy and just be like, well, it wasn't me in the car, you know. And so that was the stance that I took immediately because it was $140 or whatever.
Yeah.
$140 that I wanted to spend on podcast equipment. And so I said, no, it wasn't me in the car. And so they went back and forth and, you know, got in touch with the police, you know, and then they had to do the whole thing with the Arizona company and all that stuff. Then it actually, they sent a page with the time and date stamp on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked at that, and sure enough, it actually wasn't me in the car.
Oh, so you got...
So, yeah. And then, you know, we knew who was in the car, and they just dropped it completely.
Yeah, right.
Like, there was
right.
nothing they could do about it, because how could they prove who the hell was in the car now?
Yeah, maybe if I was smarter, I would have said, you know, that wasn't me on my motorcycle.
See, that's what you need to do.
Because I had my head covered in it. But
that's right. You had a helmet on.
Yeah. But honesty is the best policy.
That's true. So
I don't like the government. So,
so there's another. So that's your red light camera letter that is still kind of in the works.
Maybe we could post it online. It's pretty. We might be able to. Yeah.
We might be able to post like a picture of it or something like that. So there's another letter that I wanted to get to, and I actually, you want to read this online, and I want you to read it too, because it's fucking hilarious. So tell us the backstory behind this next letter that you have here for us.
All you users of, social networking, Facebook to be specific, I don't know. I feel like this has been happening more recently. I don't know if it's because I've been adding more friends at a more frequent basis lately, but I've been getting like, I honestly, on this specific topic, I can't remember if it was somebody specifically inviting me or if this was just like a public, you know, you can make invitations and make them public.
Right.
So they go to everybody. One way or the other, I got invited to this birthday party for this girl named Jessica Farney. If you're out there, Jessica Farney, maybe we'll meet someday. But it turns out there was an acquaintance, more or less, of my neighbors upstairs.
Okay.
My neighbors said they were going to go to this birthday party down in Ballard, some bar.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't think much of it. Saw the invitation on there. Friday night rolls around, and a friend of mine calls me. He says, "Hey, what are you doing?" I was like, "I don't got any plans. What are you doing?" He says, "I got nothing going on." So I said, "Well, hey, let me check my Facebook here," and checked it. Oh, there's this girl's birthday party that I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And then the wheels started turning. What if I wrote this girl, this random lady, as far as I know, never had any interaction with her, never seen her in my life other than this profile
that
picture.
One picture on
yeah the
right,
one picture yeah. I said, what if I write her a letter pretending like I know her, go to this bar, you know, I'll be there with my neighbor, so it'll be okay, you know,
right
go to, let's go to this bar anyway, let's check it out, and let me just hand her this letter that's just like this over-the-top letter that I'm gonna write.
No way, you actually took the letter to her?
I delivered personally to her, and let me tell the story.
Okay, sorry.
Because
I've read the letter, and yeah. it's fucking hilarious. So
never met this girl in my life. Had no connection with her other than she knows my neighbors upstairs, who I'm not even that good of friends with. So, yeah. So I said, okay. So we decided, well, let's go to a bar. We'll go here. I'll hand in the letter. I'll write a letter. And then, so, you know, it took me about 10 minutes to write this letter.
Mm-hmm.
Once I get in the flow, sometimes it just keeps on coming. So I said, let me write this letter. Come on over to my house. Maybe we'll go down there.
Yeah.
So I wrote this letter, which I'll read to you right now.
All
right.
And you have it here.
I have it here.
Excellent.
Live
Excellent.
In person.
Let's hear it.
So this girl, remember this girl, I don't know, but I'm pretending like I do know her.
Yeah.
Like I'm celebrating her birthday with her.
Like you've known her for a long time.
A long time.
Yeah. Clear your throat.
Dear Jessica Farney, it has been so long. I'm so joyful that I'm getting to spend this most monumental birthday with you. Reunited once again, my friend. Since it is your birthday, a time to reflect on the great times of past years, I thought I would recount some great times we had together. So, when we were 21, remember that time when we traveled to Africa together? Uganda was such a blast. I remember that one time when you met Mukamba Gobi, the leader of a rogue African nation, anarchist Ethiopia, I think, and got wasted with him. We went out to the deep, dark jungle and ate Mukamba's mumbo-jumbo juice. What a concoction. You remember that, right? The last thing I remember was dancing with a rattlesnake to some cheesy Michael Bolton song. Shit. I didn't even know they had Michael Bolton in Africa. Who would have thought? I think you passed out at the rebel camp at about midnight. You're such a lightweight, Jessica. You know, everyone talks so much smack about those rebel pirate factions in Africa, but they don't know shit. They never had the chance to party with him like we did. I mean, come on. Dancing with rattlesnakes? Swinging from vines with local tribes while drinking mumbo-jumbo juice? What a blast. I hope we can travel through Africa together again sometime. Maybe you won't get so wasted next time. Here's another story I can't forget to mention. That time in college when you flirted with that guy from the Ferrari dealership and convinced him to let you borrow Tom Selleck's Magnum PI replica Ferrari. He was such a sucker for your charm. God bless him, though. We had a hell of a time rolling in that Ferrari. We cruised down to Belltown, picked up some strippers and some Chippendales dudes, and partied until the sun came up. I'll never forget that blood-red sunrise over the Puget Sound, elegantly shining off the bright red paint of that Italian masterpiece. Hot damn, what a night, Jay Farney. I think that night really solidified our friendship. Too bad I had to burn the photos from that night to erase all the evidence. Do you remember that? I don't know, I was pretty wasted. I'm still amazed you got that car back in one piece without a scratch. That is what I love about you, Jess. You do all this wild shit, and whenever I'm around you, we somehow get away with it. I know it's been a while since we've spoken. I take full responsibility for that. That crystal meth really fucked me up. I lost a lot of weight, but I'm gaining it back. Don't you worry, pal. I really hope to make up all that lost time tonight. I'm clean and sober now, ready to get back on the fast track to success. I hear through the grapevine you're doing pretty well for yourself these days. In some ways, I'm jealous, but we all take our own paths. I'm just happy that I'm alive and that I can witness this glorious birthday of yours. Oh, how time flies. So, Jessica, this one is for you. Cheers to you. Sincerely, Ryan Michael Rambo.
Oh. Woo!
Thank you.
That was excellent. That was excellent.
So since I didn't know what she looked like specifically,
right,
it
right.
was hard to tell from the picture, you know.
Yeah.
This bar is just jam-packed. You know, after a few shots of tequila,
uh-huh.
1 o'clock rolls around. I'm like, I got to find this girl. My neighbors didn't show up. So I didn't even – they said they were showing up in the, on
right.
the Facebook
thing. Right,
so
you were thing. There. You were there totally on your own.
Totally on my own with a couple buddies. And so I was like, I got to find this girl, you know. I was kind of looking around, looking for parties, you know.
Uh-huh.
Finally saw this girl. I was sitting up on the top of the loft there looking down.
What bar was this at?
The Ballard Loft. If you,
oh.
Yeah, yeah. It's all right.
Yeah.
You know. So all this girl's like, that really looks like her. So I opened up my mobile phone. It's got uh-huh. this old phone, slow interweb. Saw a picture and I was like, hold it. I went down there, like sat right next to her pretty much. And I wasn't sure. I kept looking at my phone, just waiting for a sign. Like, is this uh-huh. her or not? It's got to be her. You know, I'm order a shot of tequila sitting there. Finally, someone comes up and says, happy birthday, Jess. I'm like, yes, this is it. This is it.
So wait, I said, how close were you sitting to her?
About as close as you and I are sitting, maybe 2-3 feet apart.
Okay.
Right
okay.
next to her, like out in the corner of the bar. I was on this corner.
So were you thinking like, okay, she's going to think this is weird. Like,
he's
sitting so close to me, he hasn't even said hi to me yet. And then all of a sudden,
he gets
up and goes, Jess.
Yeah.
Gives you a hug
and
then hands you this letter.
Here's what happened. I didn't even give her a hug. I said, oh, hey, it's your birthday? She's like, yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, wait, here, I got something for you. And I had her, this is the weird part, I had her name written on the envelope
uh-huh,
in bubble letters.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God.
And I said, hey, no. She's like, no. She thought I was going to, like, give her something, like, you know, maybe a roofie or something.
Right.
And I was like, no, just take it. And I handed her, and I had her name on it. She's like, she, like, kind of looks. I just, peace out of there. Ran uh-huh. back up to the loft, lost in the crowd.
Right.
The good thing is we had a table right on the top of the loft.
Oh, could you see her reading it?
We could see everything. So she's sitting there. She opens this letter. She's like this looks of bewilderment. What the fuck? And she's like starts laughing and like starts passing around this letter to all her guy friends. And they're just like laughing and like reading it and passing it around. They're
uh-huh.
like, what the hell? This girl's obviously drunk anyway. But they were just dying laughing, dude.
That letter made that party.
Yeah.
You know it did, dude.
Yeah, I know
it did. Because people like that go into a place like the Loft, you know, I'm not
saying
anything.
Standard people, yeah.
Standard like birthday party where you just go and you just get fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
All right.
Nothing really funny happens except for you're drunk and you think shit's funny. You know, but something like that where you've written this like fake story about you and this girl using the correct name, by the way.
Yeah.
Like is just fucking amazing.
Typed up, right?
With her name on it in bubble letters. Personally handed to her. That's something that she's going to remember forever. I'll bet you she still has that letter too.
Yeah, this is just a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. And you know what? We watched her, and I purposely did not run into her again because I didn't want to. I don't think she even registered my face because you know, just sitting there, she doesn't know me.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
You know, I've thought about maybe contacting her on Facebook and seeing what she thought of it, but maybe in the future.
You know what we should do is we should send her this episode. A link to this episode.
Right. I'm not even friends with her on Facebook.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I can send her a message.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I do that?
No, I don't. I could care
less. I think
it'd
be great because
she seemed nice enough.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, she's probably always wondered who the fuck this guy is.
Yeah.
You know, and what brought this on?
Yeah.
You know, why this whole thing happened. So I think... I'm gonna have to look her up and
it's easy
and
yeah,
send
I mean,
this
I
to
could,
her. Yeah, totally.
Send her along.
You don't mind, do you?
No, I okay. care less. I like off the wall things like this. Like, can you imagine if you got something somebody talked about you on some podcast?
Well, I want that to happen to me. No, not the podcast part, but I want somebody to come up to me and give me a letter, like somebody I don't know.
That's what I thought about. I was like, you know, like, I'm going to purposely make this not creepy. Because if it was creepy, it would be totally different. But this is, so off the wall. Like, you couldn't be offended by this.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to write this. And I'm just going to give somebody, kick somebody in the butt in one day. You know, just give them a little something to laugh about.
Right.
That makes no sense.
Well, that's great, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been a lot of fun. And that letter is amazing. You've given everybody a lot to think about here. We talked about just noticeable difference.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about how to escape the red light camera.
Yep, very practical things.
Things, and we've talked about customer service, which everybody needs to know.
Yep,
you know, good companies deserve a phone call, and you know, a good word.
Yeah. One last thing, I find it. You know, everyone's all about short messaging, text messaging,
right,
emailing.
Right. I hate it.
Yeah. Honestly, I love it.
You do?
I love it, but those kind of messages, you know, sometimes, whatever their context, those are good for their place.
Right, right.
But sometimes you need to sit down and write your friends a letter, write your girlfriend a letter, write some random babe a letter.
Random babes?
Yeah. Sometimes you need to write, you know, whatever. When you sit down and write a letter, I'm not a big fan of cards. I don't like some little goofy thing. I mean, it's
too
okay.
Too impersonal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'd rather just take a piece of paper and write a letter, even if it's typed.
Yeah.
I you know, I'd like to write them a letter than give them a card, because I feel like that's more personal, you know. Put your real feelings in there.
Yeah.
I don't care about a card. Get well soon or something. Dude, if you really care, write me a letter.
My grandma would love you. Okay? Yeah. But thanks again, Ryan Rambo, for coming on. And hopefully during your travels, you're going to send us some stuff, you know, periodically, just some thoughts, and we can read those on air and post those on the internet.
I'll be having my voice recorder at hand and iPod Touch that I just purchased, and we'll be mobile.
All right.
Ready to
upload.
Right.
Well, you send me those MP3s, and we'll put them up here as our little semi-irregular segments go along, you know, with the conspiracy theories by Ryan Rambo. How's that sound?
Sounds great when I'm sitting in the jungle pondering things.
Perfect. meeting with Colombian drug lords and,
yeah, I'm
and
already
things of that nature. And macaques.
Yeah, collaborating with the FARC right now.
Yeah. That's right. Okay. Well, thanks everybody for tuning into this show. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope we redeemed ourselves.
And totally redeemed
from
yourself.
Episode 9. And remember, you can find us on Zune Marketplace, and you can find us on the interweb at air-raid.net. And yeah, look us up on Facebook, and you know, look us up on Twitter. We're on everything here. We're everywhere. We're in your ear holes. Right now. And soon we will be in your ear holes again for episode 11 with Kirby Crackle. I finally got him locked down. We're doing a show. So once again, thanks for listening, everybody. We're gonna go out today with Profanity and Prayer by the Cat. Have a great day.